Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is February 2nd. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, my name is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for the day. Today I plan to have a difficult topic. I'm going to hash out, analyze, conclude. I can need your help with this, right? I plan to challenge the status quo. I plan to challenge the narrative. I plan to construct a new narrative. I plan to have you think it out in order to challenge the establishment, in order for us to create a new narrative. Today, I'm talking about gangs, right? For the past week, I spoke with Aaron Green. We had some exchanges on air where I had the premise that there isn't any gangs in the Bahamas. Of course, that has been challenged repeatedly. People say, you're talking foolishness, Nuri. Of course there are gangs. And I always challenge back and say, then what are the gangs? How come as yet we don't have any narrative of where the gangs are, how they look, what is the definition of it, right? I have one or two voice notes I want to play today where I have been hosting a number of conversations in order to come to a conclusion. And I want you to follow me. I mean, it's going to be a rough conversation, but I want you to follow me because I believe that we, the Bahamas, have been misdiagnosed. This crime spree that we're going through right now has been misdiagnosed. And if you have been misdiagnosed, I mean, whatever remedy that you're rendering, right, will not save the body. The body will continue to decay. I believe that we're going through some tough times now, so we need to diagnose properly. We need to find out exactly what is happening in order for us to deal with it. And I believe, this is my premise, or this thesis statement, that's what Aaron has used, the big words. My thesis is that our leaders have misdiagnosed the problem, this crime spree that we're going through, as gang-related. And because they have misdiagnosed it as gang-related, they are not dealing with the problem, and we are only dealing with the symptoms. And this 30-year problem, you hear what I call? 30-year problem of criminality will continue generation after generation because we have not as yet identified what is the problem. Today I have Valentino Scrooge Brown with me, right? What did the Prime Minister call Rodney Monk, Aaron? What title did he have?
Consultant.
No, he wasn't consultant.
Violence.
Interrupter.
Yes, interrupter. Crime interrupter, something like that. I have Valentino Scrooge Brown, who is a crime interrupter, right? Inner city advocate activist in this community, former gang member. I'm going to ask his expertise on this. I'm going to challenge him. It's going to be a rough conversation. But before that, I have a voice clip of a conversation, part of a conversation I had, right? And I want, see, this is when you slow down. If you're driving, I want you to turn up your radio little. If you're inside your office, I want you to turn up your radio little. Because this person, Donato Misik, is a social commentator, Bahamian, but he lives in Turks and Caicos, a specialist there, right? But he's a social commentator, a social advocate also. And I was giving him my story on what my premise is about this gang thing. And this was his response. And this response alarmed me. To the point where I say, Scrooge, we need to have a show. So let me play that now. Producer, play that. Aaron, listen to this too, because I want you to respond to this. And then I'll formally introduce my guest, Valentino Scrooge Brown. Go ahead, producer.
Now here's my, and Ron, this could be for you. Here's my conspiracy. My conspiracy is the word gang is being used for us to target the problem as an American-centric style of way, where we arm the police force with more weaponry and more cars and more surveillance, and then we privatize the surveillance like the drone garbage. And so that is how we're going to attack this problem. We're going to attack it as if it's gangs. No, when in actuality, what we should be saying, these are a bunch of serial killers living in neighborhoods who got 2, 3, 4, 5 bodies, and they're being glorified by the little punks in their neighborhood because they kill other Bahamians. And if the narrative is not ever going to be crafted, is that they kill other Bahamians. They're not a gang. These are Bahamian serial killers that prey amongst our citizenry. If you never word it like that, we'll keep trying to fight gangs. But once we start wording it as they're Bahamian serial killers, you know what the public is going to ask to do? But why we are not killing them? Because now, see, we're looking for solutions to help the gang problem. They ain't no flipping gangs. These are serial killers.
These are serial killers. Serial killers on our street. I remember a reverend, a bishop, text me one time when he was talking about this and say, hang them all, Nuri. Hang them all, and that all this crime thing would end. And I said, no, you can't hang them all, because I disagree with hanging. But if these are serial killers and not a social problem of gangs, then again, my premise is we are dealing with this differently. I'm going to read a headline from 2017. That's like 7, 8 years ago. 2017, let me try to bring it up, right? 2017 headline. It says, let me see where I can find it now. Aaron, I tried to get that thing off. Can you see that? Oh, I have to send it to you.
I see it.
Okay.
You want me to read this?
Yeah, please.
All right, so the article, I see what you mean. The article is entitled, Authorities Blame Gangs for the Bahamas' Bloody Start to 2017. A wave of gang-related murders in the Bahamas has forced the military onto the streets, a worrying development in a country where violence is reaching critical levels. The Caribbean archipelago of approximately 8,000 people has already seen at least 27 murders since the start of the year, with 7 dead over the past weekend in the capital of Nassau, according to Tribune 242. If violence remains at this level, the murder count by the end of 2017 would hit 224, equivalent to a homicide rate of 57.77 per 100,000 inhabitants.
That's right, yeah. That was February 2017, about 7 years ago, thereabouts, right? The headline is similar to what it is now, right? Where there's an uncontrollable amount of murders, unexplained murders, right? And say by February 2017, they said that the numbers were ready to 27. We are on track of doing that now. So now let me introduce my guest, Valentino Brown. Go ahead, Valentino. Make sure it's mic on, producer. Go ahead.
Good morning, Bahamas.
Valentino.
Go ahead. You have a text.
Valentino, you were a gang member. Briefly explain that, just for the listening audience, and give you credence of who you are.
Like I said, good morning, everyone, and it's a pleasure to be on your show, you and Miss Green. I've been listening to you guys now for a few years now. You guys do a tremendous job of your collaboration. And I like the fact that how you all share the podium together on your individual shows. Yes, my name is Valentino Brown. My nickname on the streets were Scoochie or Scroogey. I'm a former gang leader, not gang member. I'm one of the former leaders of the Border Boy gang that started in the early 90s. And, you know, you were saying, Mr. Nuri?
I want you to describe what is a gang. From your background, and then I want you to tell me, your words, do we have a gang problem here in the Bahamas right now?
Okay, let me first explain to the general public. When gangs first break out, the first gang that I knew in the Bahamas were the syndicates, and that started in the early 1987, 88, to 1989. Then after that, there was a major group formed called the Rebellion Raiders, and which is a little further down East Street by Big One area, Young Street, go straight down to Ross Corner, and the neighboring Peters Street, all the side corners. That was a whole entire neighborhood built up of one particular gang called the Rebellion Raiders. And their numbers was in the hundreds, could be probably in the thousands of young men and females. Then thirdly, you had the Mason Murderers and the Border Boys. We were the third major gang form in the country. It was all about neighborhood, protecting neighborhood at that particular time. Some of the numbers I could say, going to Junkanoo, that myself, James Charles, Ronald Bumaprat, and a few others, when we went to Junkanoo, the numbers that we had could anywhere be from over 1,000 to about 12, 13, probably even 1,400 young men in this country. The Rebellion Raiders were the biggest gangs. They had, they could have run probably into the thousands, honestly speaking. When they walk, they would have the whole East Street blocked out when they're going to Junkanoo. Similar, we were next to them, not in size, but in numbers. We would occasionally have big groupings of hundreds and hundreds of young men to get down to Junkanoo or Quincentennial, some type of activity or the fair or the carnival we would gather, and that would end up in the hundreds and hundreds. So we'd be commanding hundreds and hundreds of young men, the leaders who are that particular group. If you ask me today if there are gangs, well, the Border Boys now has transformed into the group you all might call, excuse on here, Mad Ass. That's just a generation of young guys who we grew up in the area. They watch us. We took them to Junkanoo, and now they inherited. Now they're the leaders, okay? Now that has deceased now because guys no carrying that title.
You trying to say that gang no longer exists?
The gang do no longer exist as a name brand where we have young men hanging together, because everyone know now if you carry the name of a gang name, you're a goner. So guys have dispersed now and they're in their small pockets around in neighboring group, and they have their own particular friends.
I want to echo that just for the listening audience, right? There's no such thing as a structured, organized gang that carries name, because police tend to target those people.
So guys are getting smarter. They've taken the numbers out, and they've come pockets all over Nassau.
So there is no large gang organization to say, well, this is the gang here, and they control an environment. That's what I want to know. I want to know if that exists.
In some cases, you could say that because you call them hot spots. You see, for that particular time period, they could have a grouping of guys, probably 10, 15. You understand? But it's not particularly overall gang they control.
You're saying 10, 15 people ain't no gang.
That's what I explained earlier.
So I'm going to ask this question. Were we, the general public, safer when there were structured and organized gangs? Or are we safer now that those large structures have been destabilized?
You're not safe now. Back then, we had structure. As leaders, and we wanted to deal with the situation when it comes to man, because I know what you could do. You just shoot at me, or you just shoot my friend, and I come at you and I shoot your friend. So we see that, you know, if we keep this up, no one's going to win, because all are supposed to be bad man. But when bad man seeing he getting shooting his friend getting shoot, you start to respect one another, and you come to a point where, I better try reason with this guy, or I'm going to lose my life because this guy is just like me. Mm-hmm. So Lyndon Pinlin did a program with us back in the 90s where he got all the gang leaders together, and we sat down to the table, and that's how we get to stop the gang escalation in the country. And that's why you see the branch off of pockets now, because we didn't further it. You know, when Selinda came up with the plan, it worked as talking to individuals. You know, mm-hmm. All of us started to get to know one another. And these were our enemies. We tried to kill one another. Some of us killed one another, different groups. But we came to a conclusion with Selinda, and we started to talk to one another. But after that, there was nothing for us to continue, like no finance, no future, like they say. What are we going to do now that we call peace with one another? Mm-hmm. So there was no, like, plan to, say, give us contracts or train us to be businessmen or whatever. So many of us just went in and started selling drugs in pockets. And then the guys who looked up to us, they started their own pockets of gangs. And now that's what's going on right now.
So I've seen a police report. When I say police report, it's a leaked document because I have never seen a police report, actually. And the police has never come to the public to say, this is what, the, what we're dealing with in terms of these are the gangs, these are the names, these are the neighborhoods. They call them hotspots, mm-hmm. right? They call Taylor Street a hotspot, mm-hmm. even though there's no organized gang there. They call Hay Street a hotspot, even though there's no organized gang there, right? My question to you is, the report said there are gangs called the Mad Ass. Mm-hmm. The report said there's a gang called One Order, right? I want to know, where are these places? Where are these people?
Let me explain something to you. Them days are gone.
Buddy. What you mean them days are gone? The police just said recently that we have a gang.
I ain't worried what the police say.
Because you sounding like menace right now. Like I could tell you, but then my life would be in danger.
Yeah, you sound like you just concerned. If you're concerned, we call it. We can say, well, let's move, change the topic. But what are you saying?
Like I say?
What you saying?
What you saying, Nuri?
I want to know, do they exist? That's what I want to know.
Listen. Okay. Gangs have dissolved now, okay? Listen to me. There are no big numbers of gangs. There are pockets of guys who are doing their own thing because they don't have nothing constructive to do, okay? They're leading their lives the way they're leading their lives. In these communities, and a lot of them are losing their loved ones just as well as they are taking people's loved ones. And you have right now, where the Bahamas is 21/7, with 100+ murders. You think everyone in the country is involved with gangs? No. But I can tell you one thing, we got a lot of mad, poor people in the country, which will make people think.
Right. And so for me, the question I asked yesterday, we have a bigger problem. Was, right, is there a difference between lawlessness and criminality? Right? And what's driving crime more?
Lawlessness.
Is it the lawlessness or the criminal?
Lawlessness.
Yeah.
Lawlessness.
Some years ago, the bishop, and I see the call, I'm coming to you now, caller, the bishop of the Anglican Faith, Gomez, said we have a culture of corruption. Uh-huh. I have people are saying that we have a culture of violence. Uh-huh. That culturally, we have adopted an American system of challenging the police force. Do you notice that when the church people them? What civic group? Christian Council. When the Christian Council speaks, the Bahamian people tend to react with a rage. How dare do they speak? Well, who are you? And I'm saying now our problem is a cultural thing that we are dealing with, that if we do not diagnose what we're going through, as being a cultural nuance, instead of labeling all the crime and criminality is happening as gang, we will not address and solve the problem.
When you ask Scrooge to identify the gangs, right, I can tell you, I could identify plenty gangs in this town because gang culture has been entrenched in every space. Churches operate like gangs, right? Politicians and parties operate like gangs. People and civic organizations, people are clicking up and forming entities for whatever purpose, but those entities operate like gangs. There's violence within this space, right? There's no commitment to a... And then what's worse is there's no commitment to a core central principle, right? Which then, just the same way that the large groups broke down and now you just have pockets. You have people operating in these spaces like gangsters, even though that's not the intention of the organization.
That's right.
We have a caller here. I know the caller been holding for a while.
I like how you explained that, Ms. Green.
Let me put Patrick caller through for me, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes. What is that, New York?
Blessings, man. What are you saying, Scoobo?
Morning. Everything good? Hey, Scoobo. What's happening?
Everything good, brother.
Aaron.
Morning.
All is well?
Yes, sir.
Nuri, I was listening to that clip with the fellow play, right? For somewhat, I will agree with him, right? Why I'll agree with him, and what Scott was telling you all was so true. We ain't got no more gang, man. I'm gang them, then finish with. What people doing now, they hiring fellas now to do dirt. And not only that, you look at the amount of murders that take place last month. And none of them was no gang related murders.
You're saying something contrary to what the police are saying. I hear you.
Worry about what the police saying, man. Worry about what the people who have been on the streets wouldn't know what gang is all about. See, like school would say, he was a part of the thing I'm back in the day. I was in no Mason murder, but I was living in Mason. I was living in A Street. So I was a part of all them gang them, but I never killed nobody, and I don't know nobody like that. But, so to say, I hear about it. But what I say in the U.S., Nuri, ain't no more gang like that, Ron.
So what are we dealing with then?
That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with persons with getting higher, these young fellas getting higher to shoot down, kill up one another. I can tell you this because I still is go up in Mason. I still is be listening to the fellas them running their mouth when they done. They get one certain type of drugs now with their health. When fellas take them drugs, take the law, they ain't no law, nobody.
Fentanyl.
They will do
fentanyl,
their thing.
Fentanyl.
Right. See, so Stuart, I mean, Nuri, I listen to the Prime Minister and all them. I listen to them every day when they're in the House Assembly. What they dealing with now? They dealing with fear. They operating on fear. Even the commissioner. Because ain't got nothing to do with no gang no more. Look at the people them dying last year. Watch what that people. You get a woman getting shoot up. You get a families killing up one another. It ain't got nothing to do with no gang. They trying to put these things. Where the gang is?
So two questions.
When last you hear about the Raiders?
Two questions.
When last you hear about the Warhawks? When last you hear about that gang was from being down? What they name them?
Gunhawks.
When last you hear about them? You know, like who will say, the fellas them, they stop boarding with the gang thing. So what they doing now? They stand in their little corner.
And
that's how they operate. They ain't no more gang. So,
I appreciate that.
But another thing too, right? What I want to tell you is, those talking about the violence and other things, but crime and thing, right? Okay. You all fellas them with committing crimes, mm-hmm. right? But they are not
violent,
so to
fellas?
Say, killing.
Okay.
They're not murdering people. You have some fellas out there with operating area, a criminal-minded person, right? That is not a person would say, so to say, you know, they're killing. See, a killer is different from a criminal.
See,
a criminal is one would just go there and commit probably armed robbery, breaking people out or stealing things like that. That's a criminal-minded person. But when you find a murderer, is somebody out there who was either hired or different things like that. See, now, violence is something we can never get rid of. Violence will always be with us. If you look in the book of, whenever you get some spare time, go in the book of Amos. Go in the book of Amos, chapter 3. God say, if you see violence in the land, mm-hmm. that is what I allowed. So violence, we ain't gonna never get rid of violence.
Let me respond to that, Skillbo. Thank you very much, eh?
Well, listen, in the book of MLK Jr., he said, what peace is not the absence of violence, it's the presence of justice.
That's right.
Right? So I wanted to ask the question.
Go ahead.
Has technology enabled the shifting, or is technology integral in how these new pockets are organized, right? So people don't need to have a gang meeting with 100 people, 200
people. They zooming? You said these gang members zooming?
Were they WhatsApping maybe, right? They're using technology to communicate with each other.
And we don't have the technology to intercept that, Aaron, that you're trying to say?
I mean, I know who does have the technology to intercept it, but we don't have it. So the next question is this.
Go ahead, Ms. Green.
We talked about the introduction of a new substance into the community, right, that may be enabling young men to engage in activity that they would not be able to if they were not intoxicated. Mm-hmm. You call the name fentanyl. We don't make that here. Mm-hmm. Would decriminalizing cannabis and allowing individuals to grow a certain amount of plants like Trinidad or Jamaica, would that help to destabilize gang criminal activity amongst those who are importing cannabis and other substances? So you can now target no tolerance, target the importers of substances, because you know people can legally grow cannabis at home, so they don't need to import it. And anybody importing anything, we just shut them right down. Would that be an effective strategy to destabilize some of this criminal activity taking place?
Wow. That's a very good analysis just now, Ms. Green. Now I'm going to try find my best to answer that. I think if you were to allow guys to grow marijuana, it would, and you know, the police would now be able to target those who are bringing it illegally into the country. I think that would be a big plus. I think it could also be a solution to some of the problems dealing with the marijuana, probably even dealing with the crime rate dealing with the marijuana, because I honestly want to say this. You know that most guys who come into prison who get charged with serious offenses, what is their number one occupation?
Selling half bags?
There you go. Huh? You all hear me? That's his occupation, because that's the only thing he know how to do.
That's his trade.
Hold on, and let me tell you all why a D is not satisfactory. Because if you ever read Freakonomics, you'd know that the person making minimum wage in the States at McDonald's making more money than the person selling half bags.
That's right.
But they have money in their hand every day. That's the issue. Let's go to the caller there, producer. Go ahead, Corey. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning. How are you guys? This is a great discussion this morning.
Good.
We don't make fentanyl in the Bahamas, and we don't make guns in the Bahamas. You understand? So that the U.S., they're putting their, you know, changing our culture. And the more we look at the U.S., like television, all this stuff we have access to, affecting these young guys, mm-hmm. man. Mm-hmm. It's these guys who are killing people, they like 15, 16, and 17,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These young fellas, man, these little boys in high school and mm-hmm. thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Giving them little $500 and thing, or one little motorbike. He's biking, like, oh, you can see, oh, police can pass niggas on the side of the road, riding bike, it ain't like, they ain't wearing no helmet or nothing. You understand what I'm saying? And don't stop these fellas.
So what you think he told him?
Mm-hmm.
Pardon?
I say, what you think he told him on him?
All right, then. You understand what I'm saying? They riding around free and clear. You ain't getting nothing happening to these fellas, man. And I heard on another talk show, they were saying something about criminals don't have no future, right? But these guys looking at certain man, them who got all that money in the Bahamas now. What Brent Simon and daddy used to do?
Roland Simon.
Yeah, but I understand your point.
You understand what I said?
Wrecking was morally bad, but accepted culture. Right. You're right, right? At some point, the things...
What was illegal can become
legal.
Exactly.
Legal. Right. I mean, I think that the legalization of numbers was mishandled and created a space where people develop their own ideas about morality, right? It's a space like that where people say, hold on. But one day, numbers was illegal. And these by them just living their life. And now all of a sudden...
They embraced by government.
Numbers men are being celebrated as heroes in the country.
Caller, let me respond to that. Thank you very much, though, for your call. Scroogey.
Yes, sir.
There's a segment of society which would suggest that there's criminal element that is being protected.
Of course.
By a political force. We're protected by a police force. That there are criminals who can call senior lawyers by their first name who turn parliamentarians. And say, but that's my friend. He used to be my lawyer. Mm-hmm. I know him. That their entire career was defending a particular segment of society. I think my old lady's called it drugs.
So he's a criminal lawyer?
He's a criminal lawyer. Yes, their whole career was defending the drugs. How do you pronounce
so
that?
So what you're
drugs?
Trying to say, Mr. Nuri?
I ain't saying nothing. I'm just saying that.
I just want to point out that you don't know nothing about drugs because you can't even say the word.
It ain't drugs. It's drugs. Drugs. The drugs of society. You know, that's what you're the drugs.
Oh, the dredges of society.
Yeah, whatever that word is.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So when you're seeing parliamentarians, when you have seen a notorious gangster being shot down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole Bahamas know that they're notorious gangsters being shot down. And then you see parliamentarians saying, oh, they're my constituents. I came out here to support the family. And I'm out here trying to be a good citizen. And I said, but what you doing out here? How do I feel?
Well, I respond.
You remember, go ahead.
No, go on, Scoot.
You remember I told you we were sitting on with the table sitting in the old PLB party for a good cause. So what you're saying is evident right there. Mm-hmm. And all us had different criminal background, extensive criminal background, Mr. Nuri.
This is why in a small island developing state, when conflicts of interest cannot be avoided, you need mechanisms to public mechanisms to manage conflicts of interest. right? And they do, the politicians do themselves a disservice. The same conversation that Minister was trying to have in the paper about awarding of contracts. Mm-hmm. No political party should be awarding a contract to somebody who has a record or is on bail. No government, no administration. There should be an independent, temporary, and emergency employment program.
You trying to say my MP can't
that,
hire me?
That prioritize... No, your MP can send a reference to the program and say that I acknowledge that this person is a member of my constituency. I acknowledge that this person needs a job and is marginalized from employment because of his record. Yeah, and that's the only thing the MP should do.
Are you saying that as a former or a criminal-minded person, I can't be a campaign general? You're trying to say, I can't, you're going to let me campaign for you?
A party that wants to maintain its integrity will avoid that at all costs and create mechanisms to enable all citizens without any party affiliation whatsoever.
I agree. And that's probably one of our main problems with our country today, because most of the politicians who live in these inner city communities, they look for the wrong set of people to be their campaign generals. Okay?
Do you believe there are criminal-minded people in during campaigns and in elections?
People who are desperate to show face to get, like I say, something in return. There are people in these inner city communities, you know, they're vulnerable themselves because, you know, they're vulnerable themselves, Mr. Nuri. Nuri, you have to understand, ain't an happening inside these communities, you know. Unemployment are high. Don't mind what the government's saying about this and that and all that. Come on, my Mr. Nuri, look through the corners. You want to see all the kids, them and everyone hanging up on the corner playing dominoes and stuff like that?
All day.
All day, you know, wake up and then.
Let's go to the callers then.
Go ahead,
producer. Patch the caller through. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri, Ms. Green, and good day to you, Scroogey.
Bless up to you, sir.
Yes, sir. Mr. Nuri.
Yes, ma'am.
We don't have a gang problem in the Bahamas. We have a societal problem in the Bahamas.
Say it again, sir.
Explain myself.
Say it again, sir.
The police say differently.
Pardon me?
The police say differently.
I mean, they have a right to. Okay? Listen, what do you expect with a lot of young, stateless young men in this country? Can't get a passport. Can't get documentation. Mm-hmm. Right? Yet you're taking away what they call them, which were illegal. I'm not condoning that, right? Listen, why don't we just take the buck and those who are eligible for residency, citizenship, whatever, let's hit the nail on the head and deal with it and start afresh. Listen, you check the ratio of the young men who are being charged for murder, right?
You're
in
right.
this country,
right.
And you'll understand exactly where I'm going with
he's
that.
He's right, he's right.
All right? And listen,
right.
We're talking about gangs. We have a bigger problem than gangs in this country. All right? We have those American drugs that are being disseminated through the country.
Uh-huh.
You know what the young men say today? 16, 17, 18-year-old. They take Mali, and they're ready to kill the world. Because they feel like there's three or four poisons in one.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And check the ratio in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the young men that are killing are under 25 years old, sir. And who are being killed are under 25 years old.
Yes, sir.
You think they're just picking up a gun and just going and jumping in the car and going to shoot? No. They have extra ammunition with them, which is the Mali drug, okay?
And I want you all to
thank
know,
you very much, Carl.
When you see the video, remember the video of the two officers in the police car, would be doing Squatty, we drinking? That's they trying to empower themselves. They need to feel stronger. They need, right? Everybody out here is scared on both sides of the table. They know 15-year-old boy wake up in the morning talking about I's a killer, I's born a killer. They got to get intoxicated to be able to do these things. They are also victims.
And where they come from?
Don't come from here. I don't know anybody growing Molly in the Bahamas.
No.
And
you go ahead, gun.
And I just want to say this.
Go ahead.
To those who are listening. You see everywhere you go, murder this way, 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 murder this way. The police up and down. I say, I live on East Street, Lewis Street, Miss Green,
mm-hmm.
and we can't arrest. Ambulance 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day, and all we can say, that someone just get shot or that someone just get killed in the
mm-hmm.
country and all around the country. It tells you that we have a bigger problem than gangs.
Yeah.
If I'm a former gang leader and I'm telling the country this, because I've been a bystander to watch things develop from being a gang leader to watch it develop where it's just pockets. Now, you just have murderers on the street. You have murderers and wannabe murderers who watch other people. And they themselves become in tune with that type of mindset.
I have a next caller I'm going right. to go to. I'm producer to pass the caller through, but I'm going to ask you this, Scrooge.
Go ahead.
Is there such a thing as contract killers in the Bahamas?
What you mean?
Does that exist?
You won't play around. Go mess around somebody. You would find out.
No, I don't want to find
out. Ask the pump attendant in the gas station yard who just got shot the other day. He was not the intended target, you know. His co-worker was the intended target.
And let's just say that big grown man in that video walked up and did not even look in that young man's face. Let me tell you, you are a coward.
Right.
You think you could kill a man and not look in his face as you doing it?
And that's the wrong person.
And then you get the wrong person on top of it?
The car spotted him the first time. It's Henry.
That means he planned to come back again.
That's a social problem.
We have a social problem.
Let's go to the caller now. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Aaron, Newey, Scoogey, under the Bahamas. Scoogey, you remember when you and Carlos Reed was on Dwight's show a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, sir.
And I called in.
Yes, sir.
Because Dwight had mentioned about my recommendation what the government should do with putting out posts and getting the members of parliament to call constituency meetings and neighborhood watch programs and put it together.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, here we are, and we still have... quibbling over this and this record-breaking month with these killings. I would just like to say that when you talk about gangs, a friend of mine have a saying that the biggest gangs in this town is the red group and the yellow group. See what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
But I really call in to say, too, that when you talk about we have a social problem, Aaron and Yuri, it is true because, you know, we have to hold our leaders the highest standards.
Yes, sir.
And they say the fish rot from the head. Now, I want you all to think on this. Tomorrow is going to be the one-year anniversary when they said that someone threatened the prime minister.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, you know, they targeted me. It was me, Aaron, that they had and came and tried to break down my door 5 days later. Next week, Thursday, will make a year. And they knew that I was only calling Aaron and Newey with my issue, and I don't need to mention it, right? Calling them, never called to the Prime Minister office, asked for him. They knew it. And that was, I mean, it's personal to me because I'm still trying to get my matter sorted out. It's a civil matter.
Yeah,
Who would target me to say, well, and everybody know, the switchboard know, the person I personally grew up in, her auntie, B.K. Barnaby's sister house.
Sir, One second, sir. I just want to say this to you. Let's not get into these details.
No, I'm just saying.
I know, but in your pursuit of justice, let's not potentially jeopardize your pursuit of justice by sharing these tales in the public domain.
No, I understand. I'm going to digress from that.
Good stuff.
The issue is where things very need good. To be, and y'all are right, it's a social issue. And like I mentioned before, they need to take things in hand and do what is right and set example in carrying this nation forward because, you know, when you look at what happened, let's go back to the 70s and 80s. Ain't no killing used to happen like this. Cultural mix of culture. You see what I'm saying? And that's basically all I have to say today.
Thank you very much, caller.
Let
me sort of clear, like, clear the board by getting all these people to get their 30 seconds. Let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller.
To your boy Scoogey, Aaron, and CA.
Yes, sir.
You know, I like the last call and the call before that. Mm-hmm. So it would be a sin if I didn't call in. And so, Scoogey, thanks for painting a picture or portraying, et cetera, of the inner city, right? You know, this morning I had a young lady approach me with her son asking me for lunch money. And so I was going into the Chinese with my daughter, and I gave her what I could. But the thing is, it frightened me. So, you know, we know that we have a gang problem, but the young man was painting the reasons for it. And so, the thing is, if we're in denial of that, then that's a problem. I mean, that last conversation was very scary, okay? Now, Scoogey, you keep painting the picture, right? Because most people have no idea what it is. CJ say if they have contract killers. Hey, listen, a life's so cheap right now, right? But, you know, the last caller said something very profound for somebody like me who grew up in the inner city and is always here. The cultural mix, mentality, and then the social neglect of social programs in the inner city. And then so they sit around, they come around, they smile, they walk, they talk. And the killers still stalk. Give thanks.
Wow. We have more callers there. I want to read this. It's a quote. It says, cultural violence represents the existence of prevailing or prominent social norms that make direct and structural violence seem natural or right or at least acceptable. Yeah. Earlier, at the beginning of the show, I mentioned that we need to diagnose our problem. The diagnosis that we have right now is saying that it's a gang issue, right? And we're hearing that from people off the street say this ain't no gang issue. It's something bigger than that. So I'm trying to say, if we want to solve or stop or retard or slow down this criminality that is happening now, we need to properly diagnose what we are going through now or continue to just treat the symptoms. And the next, since this is now a 30-year-old problem, the next 5 years, the next 10 years, January will come again and say, my God, it's another record killing again, and we don't understand. We could label it again. Surely some kind of gang. Let's go to the caller here again. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Aaron, CA, and my good friend, Scroogey.
Hey, good morning, sir.
It's a very tough act to follow by all of the other previous callers. My personal view on this is it is a societal problem. It's a societal problem from the mere fact that we are now have a country of poverty that is stricken just about every household, every average Bahamian household here in this country. Yeah, you know, basically, when we really analyze this, as the previous caller said, the crime level as we are experiencing today, we have never experienced in the 70s and 80s when we were growing up. That is when the middle class was really the middle class. And, you know, the families made enough monies to keep the families floating. Today, that is not the case. Many persons in this country right now have to work 2 and 3 and 4 jobs just to try to put monies to determine whether they're going to pay the light bill or whether they're going to put food on the table. And remember, a household full of hungry children is going to drive just about any parent to go out there to try to do what they need to do in order to feed those hungry mouths. We need to end or try to lower the poverty level in this country to a comfortable level where people can begin to breathe comfortably again. And that's the bottom line of this.
That's it.
And listen, it's not just the average Bahamian.
Thank you very much.
Right? It's every Bahamian. Because
that's right. Every Bahamian has the right to live comfortably in this country. And we will dance around the issue as much as we want. The issue here is the poverty and the misery index in this country is so high that everybody, even the normal law-abiding citizen in this country now, have to think twice and three times on how to figure out how are we going to take care of our families.
Yep.
When we watch certain families in this country, they're prospering. We have to end the poverty level to this at this level. We have to bring this down significantly so people can begin to breathe comfortably again in this country. Thanks for taking my call.
That's it, Ms. Green.
Yeah.
All right, that's it.
I'm going to say it's not just the people we think are poor people that are psychologically affected, because rich people every day on the road show you the level of frustration they're living with as they ignore and breach traffic controls.
Yeah.
Everybody is desperate to make the most of their time. Right? And to make the most money as possible.
Let's take a quick commercial break. Call us, I see you. As soon as I come back from the break, I'll patch you all in. You only get 30 seconds because you know we soon go, right? But it seems as if we have a Robin Hood here. When I say a Robin Hood, that they have criminality who's now being praised as heroes. That once upon a time, industries, would you say, man, they are hardcore criminals and now have been accepted and being heralded by the establishment. And so when you see criminality, see that and say, man, surely I can become successful too.
Or when you see politicians and state actors, people in red plates, people in police cars ignoring traffic controls and basic laws, basic rules. And people say, well, if they ain't following it, why should I?
We'll be right back. Guy in Radio NAM.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Run away from the norm and run in love. On February 10th at 6 a.m. from Arawaki.
Love is in the air.
Friendship, love, and romance will take to the asphalt for 3 romantic miles as Four Seasons Race Management partners with the City of Hope for its second annual Running in Love.
Love is in the air.
It's a 5K fun run walk. It's a Valentine's theme event for family, friends, and lovers. Sign up as a duo with who you love or who loves you. Register at www.fourseasonsracemanagement.com. City of Hope says, are you running in love too? Register today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. I know we have callers. I mean, I have one, two with tech, so let's speed things up because we're running out of time. Let's go straight to the caller there. Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon, CA, and your guests.
Good afternoon,
I think y'all are right. I mean, Scoogey is right. There's a bunch of brain dead, brain damage. Some of them born with 3 cents. Now they're smoking marijuana. Their brains never make no new brain cells. They're operating on 2 cents now. They're serial killers. They have no conscience. That's the way how they eat. They'd kill you for $500. But I think the police need to intel. Get some intel or get some informants out there who want to ask for it. Because there are some people out there doing it for free. For cheap. But a gang has to be organized. A gang has to make money. So we ain't no good gang not making money. These are individuals that are brain damaged because smoke marijuana at 12 years old, and they have no brain cells. They have no. They cannot read, write. What they can do is make like $300 to impress their friends. So the police need to do the intel work and find out who is the serial killers killing people. I mean, like, why you waking? How you eating?
Let's start the intel before then. How are young people allowed to exist in a system with so many rules and so many standards? How are these young people allowed to exist without getting what it is that they need, right? You're telling me they're born with 3 brain cells, which suggests that they are what we call crack or alcohol fetal syndrome babies. They are victims of something. If they didn't finish school, that means some truant officer, some administrator didn't follow up on their job to ensure that these kids are in school. It means that the government didn't create a program for these people because the government has an obligation.
Now remember, like you said, 1974, I was born. I was diagnosed as a crack baby because my mom was on crack cocaine. And if you look at the statistics in the 1970s, you would see where thousands of young behemoths were born and most of their parents, aunties, their uncles were on crack cocaine. So we were drug babies or Alcohol Anonymous. You know what that means? We ever had a problem from the inception and we did nothing about it. That's the effect of us. Because like you said, my mom was on crack cocaine. I don't know what my father was on. My father went to prison. Wise, I was born in my mother's womb. So what do you think?
Let me ask you this too. I know you have some text here. Is there any no-go zone that behemoths can't travel to, tourists can't go to, police can't? Because they said, gang have no-go zone. You can't come through here. This is my territory. Exist any no-go zones?
Man, you could go anywhere in the Bahamas, man. And the tourist that comes to the Bahamas is not in danger. Look at our statistics, Mr. Nuri. We need to explain this. We have a block-on-block thing in the country. If you look at the 20 murders that happened in this country, you would see that no tourist was killed with no firearm in this country. We had more tourists die of getting bite from shark and die on scooter bike accident than we had them being assaulted with a firearm. We had probably one or two murders in the last 15 or 20 years where we had behemoths who did criminal offenses against tourists. But that is basically not even 1%. We have about 7.7 million visitors, and we have a record now about 8.7 million visitors visit our shores every year. And none of them are in danger. But we have a block on block. And a travel advisory the U.S. government gave was an advisory that advised them that we have a block on block situation and don't go certain spot. But guess what? This is not a spot that you can say don't go. It's a spot where the person who had intended target was at that particular time and that person make them move. They're not going to be there tomorrow again because that scene didn't happen 2 days ago. What the killer's going to go back there for?
Absolutely.
Go ahead with the text.
CA, Aaron and Scroogey, interesting newspaper article from 2017. That's the article you read?
Mm-hmm.
Facts, actually. My question is, those figures cited were gathered during the term of this same similar administration. the party's administration? Where were the interrupters, police experts, police doctors, paid consultants, and JPs just 7 years ago? Another text. To me, it seems like the same car always leaving the scene of the crime and the police can't seem to find these guys. It can be that the stateless youth may be involved. We have a lot of organized crime in this country. The airport robbery, the killings of men on bail. This is organized. That's from a texter. Another text. Wendy's, Kentucky, McDonald's, Burger King are constantly short staffed. Work is available for those who want to work. Yeah, but those jobs tend to leave people what we call underemployed. Like you have a job, but you need two other jobs to make it work. We need to also focus on regulating wages and ensuring that people are being paid and treated decently.
Well, let me pause and let me try to squeeze this last caller in. Go ahead, producer. Squeeze that person in for me, please. Producer, let's get that one. Go ahead, Carly. You have 20 seconds.
Hey, good day. Hey, good day. How y'all doing today? Good day to you, yeah.
Good day, sir.
I got to say this. While I agree that there's not a name gang, like how you all used to have, like the Canucks and the Raiders and all that stuff, I agree with that. But I shoot pool in the city, and I know there's, like, I spoke to one of them the other day. Now, I ain't calling, but definitely ain't calling nobody here. But just say that's a senior man, a senior person, right? And I don't know how they get their money, but apparently there's a lot of young fellas who just look up to him. Mm-hmm. And he could authorize X, Y, Z. You see the little boy pull up on the mm-hmm. motorbike, up, and at least about 15 of them always around mm-hmm. in that present. Pocket. I don't know if you call that a gang. But
it's a pocket gang.
Look like one to me. You understand? They might not have a name like, I all you had, like, you understand? And then that would be the same thing in another area.
Okay, but I got to go. I wrote this time again. I just want to read this. Say, consultant confirmed scheme to interrupt crime has yet to take effect. The man, crime interrupters getting paid and they ain't doing nothing yet.
The text say Rollin Simonette was a great man. Producer, play the song, Wrecking Money Never Done. I say Wrecking Money.
Anyway, that has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. I appreciate you, Valentina Scrooge Brown.
My pleasure.
Have a wonderful day.